نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذ اخذ ربك من بني ادم من ظهورهم ذريتهم واشهدهم على انفسهم الست بربكم قالوا بلى شهدنا ان تقولوا يوم القيامه انا كنا عن هذا غافلين. Respected elders and brothers, ulama ikram, first and foremost, I do not sit here as a sheikh, as a muslih, as a person who has any capabilities to reform yourself. Firstly, myself, I am spiritually sick. So if I sit here to make your islah, or if I sit here as a sheikh or as a muslih, then I'll be fooling myself. With Allah's fadl, in your midst, you have great ulama, much more learned than this humble, this wicked servant. You have mashayikh in your company. Therefore, I do not sit here to make anybody's islah. But why do I sit here with the instructions of your mashayikh and with their commands and the instructions that we must impart the deen, and also so that I must learn, and there might be many of you like me who might take benefit from this talk, not for the mashayikh and the ulama. Number two, whenever we sit in a talk, what is very important to us is to question our heart, why do we sit in that majlis? If we do not question this heart, why do we sit in a majlis? Then unfortunately, respected elders and brothers, we will sit in majlis throughout our life, but you will find that majlis, that lecture, that bayan, it will not impact on our salah, nor on our ibadat, nor on our dhikr. Many a times we sit and we ponder, or we ask ourselves this question, why isn't there no change in my salah? Why isn't there no change in my tilawat of Quran? Why is there no change in my system? Why is there no change in my eyes? Why is there no change in my ears? Why is there no change in my heart? What is the reason for this? There is something wrong with our tariqah, our method in fulfilling the ibadat of Rabbul Izzat, in the obedience of Rabbul Izzat. Now, as we are sitting here, each and every one of us are regarded as a salik, a person who trod the path to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullah, in his kitab, he writes, Awwal qadam fi suluk, the very first and foremost step and stage, if you want to get closer to Rabbul Izzat, is what? Humbleness, simplicity. And this humility, this humbleness doesn't mean that you bow your head. It means that you bow your heart to Rabbul Izzat. So when we sit in the majlis, we bow our hearts down. Ya Allah, we are sickly. We need nasiha. We need a treatment. We need drugs. We need antibiotics. And by doing this, we say to ourselves, Ya Rabbul Izzat, whoever you have appointed as a mutakallim and a speaker, Allah, I believe firmly within myself that Allah, you will put into the speaker's mind, into the speaker's heart, Allah, to highlight those aspects that I need most in my life, to diagnose us and also at the same time to provide the treatment and administrate the treatment. Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullah alayhi, when he visited the Mubarak city of Medina, he stood before the Mubarak qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did he say? Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, Ya Jaddi, Assalamu alayk. He made salam and he said, O Prophet of Allah, I come very, very far. My burning desire and wish is that before I leave, I would like to kiss your Mubarak hand. Immediately, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed his little son, Ya Waladi, I will fulfill your demands and your needs. And the Mubarak hand of Nabi Karim came out. And he kissed the Mubarak hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first thing that he did after the acceptance of his desire and his wish, he threw himself at the entrance of Masjid Nabawi. And he said, Sayyid Ahmad Rifai is worth that people must walk over him. That is my position. And as people walked out of the masjid, they started walking upon Sayyid Ahmad Rifai. So someone asked him a question, that you such a great wali of Allah, your nisbat with Allah is so great, Your ta'alluq with Allah is so great. Your relation with Allah is so great. Your contact with Allah is so great. Tell me something. How did you reach that rank and that status with Rabbul Izzat? Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Rifai replied that I went to the door of Salah and I knocked on the door of Salah. I saw the queues, thousands and thousands of people waiting to get to Rabbul Izzat through the Salah. I decided, let me go to the door of Hajj, and I knocked on the door of Hajj. Millions and millions of people were lining up to get closer to Rabbul Izzat, to create the nisbat, the friendship, the relation, the ta'alluq with Allah. I said, Ya Allah, the desire is too great. I cannot wait that long. So I went to Umrah. I knocked on the door of Umrah. Wallah, I take an oath on Allah's name. Millions and millions were in the queue. I eventually went to the tilawat of Quran and I saw thousands of Muslims waiting in the queue. I said, Ya Allah, I cannot wait that long, Allah. My love is too great for you, Allah. I knocked on the door of Nawafil. Millions and millions of Muslims waiting in the queue to get to Rabbul Izzat through the medium of Nawafil. I finally decided to go to the door of the Wadu and I knocked on the door. Wallahi al-Azim, not a single person was at this door. And I entered this Mubarak door. This is how dynamic, how powerful is the Amul of the Wadu. If you take all Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's A'mal, what do you find? One quality, Abdiyat. So here's a little bayan given to us by our Sheikh Hazrat Mulana Masroor Rahmatullahi 25 years ago. And he starts this bayan, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمْ, that think of those Mubarak moments, those blessed moments, when Rabbul Izzat had taken the pledge, taken the promise, we went to an agreement, a contract with Rabbul Izzat. What was this contract? What was this pledge? What was the promise? It was at a time and a stage where the arwah of man, the ruh of mankind, the souls of mankind, were kept in a department of the alam of arwah. Rabbul Izzat granted the akal, the shu'ur, the intellect, the intelligence to the ruh. And Allah brought all the ruh that was still to come on the universe, and Allah asked them, Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Lord, your Rabb, your Creator, your benefactor, your nourisher, your sustainer? And in unison, every ruh that witnessed this, what did they say? Qalu bala, undoubtedly, Ya Allah, you are our Rabb and our Lord. And Allah said that, let me remind you, you were made a shahadat and you went into this pledge. So therefore on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, you cannot turn around and say, Ya Allah, I am unaware of this contract. I do not know about this pledge or this promise. Now let us view and review this pledge and this promise. When a child is born in Islam, we give the adhan in the right ear and we give the iqamat in the left ear. This is a dalil and a shahadat of the renewal of the pledge that Allah have taken in the alam and mithaq while we were in the department of the arwah. We are reminded once again about that pledge. Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Lord, your Creator, your Sustainer? Qalu bala, we give evidence and shahadat. Now many of us might ask the question, to tell me something, I'm not aware of the pledge. Now Hazrat gives an example. He says, if you take a seed and you put the seed into the ground, whether you have the knowledge of that seed, whether you haven't got the ilm of that seed will continue to germinate and grow. In like manner, in the alam al-mithaq, Rabbul Izzat placed the seed of iman, the seed of yaqeen, the seed of tawheed in a mu'min's heart. Whether you are aware of it, whether you are unaware of it, Wallahi al-Azim, there will come a time in your life where that Mubarak seed will manifest in your life. The aql and the shu'ur that Allah have given us will bear shahada to that. Therefore, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah says, even if a person is born in the midst of the ocean, he is born in the midst of the jungle, it is incumbent upon him to accept the tawheed of Rabbul Izzah. Why? There will come a phase and a period where you will find this Mubarak seed of Iman, the Mubarak seed of Tawheed, it will manifest within that human being. Now, if you take the arwah, if you take the ruh and the soul of mankind, this ruh whilst in the alam al-mithaq, it had no appetite, no affinity, no feeling, no desire, no urge for anything. What was the work of the arwah? What was the work of the ruh? The ruh was only engaged in one mubarak, one blessed amal. What was this? The mushayda of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Imagine such a mubarak, such a blessed work. This ruh only had to look at Rabbul Izzat. It had no desire, no feeling, no urge, no lust, no hunger, no thirst, no pain, no suffering. We look at the life of mankind, every person on the dunya wants to progress, he wants to be successful, physically, financially, spiritually. This is an inherent quality, something fitrat in man, that you want to progress, you want to climb the ladder, you want to climb the stairs, you set a target in life. In like manner, this ruh of ours, whilst in the alam arwah, it could not progress. Why? It had no desire, it had no opposition factor with it. So it could not climb the stairs, it could not progress. And in order for us to be successful, in order for us to weigh and measure our progress and our success, we need two opposite factors. What we say in Arabic, mutadad. For example, if a person in his lifetime did not experience what is heat, he will not be able to tell you how cold the weather is. Until you don't experience heat, you cannot assess your cold. In like manner, if there is no evil on the dunya, we will not be able to say to ourselves that, look here, I am progressing as far as khair and good is concerned. Because there is evil, an opposite factor, now we can look at our lives and we can say, Ya Allah, we thank you Allah, that I've abstained from the evil, from the shirk, and I've produced good amal, good deeds, amal as-saliha. So I can measure that khair in contrast to shirk. Now whilst this ruh was in the alam arwah, there was no shirk, there was no pain, there was no suffering, there is no evil, there is no desire. So whilst the ruh was there, it was not possible that this ruh could progress. The way Rabbul Izzat wanted this ruh to progress, it could not progress in the alam arwah. In spite of this ruh being in such a great ibadah and amal, the mushayid of Rabbul Izzat, looking at Rabbul Izzat each and every day, every second. But Rabbul Izzat did not want this. Allah wanted this ruh to progress. Allah wanted the ruh to become strong. Now, to fulfill that ibadat, or to fulfill that task, what we term as the mushayid haq, there were millions and millions of Rabbul Izzat's creation. Millions and millions. If you take the malaika, Rabbul Izzat created an angel. From day one when an angel is created, if it's been created to stand, then throughout the life, till the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah and thereafter, it will only stand. If an angel has been created for ruku, forever and ever, the angel will only remain in ruku. If an angel has been created for sujood, forever and ever, that angel will only be created for sujood. We give an example. The holy Kaaba that we have here, the original Kaaba, is directly in line with the holy Kaaba, Bayt al-Ma'mur. Each and every day, 70,000 angels are created. And the hadith has said, when one angel makes the tawaf of the holy Kaaba, never ever will that angel get an opportunity to repeat his tawaf. That will give us an indication, the quantity, the multitude of Allah's makhluk that is there to make the tasbih of Allah, to make the hamd of Allah, to make the sajda of Allah, to make the mushahidah of Rabbul Izzat. But Allah didn't want this ruh to be on that darajah. Allah didn't want this from this ruh. If you look at the fish, you take the birds, you take the animals. Shah Wali Rahmatullah Alayhi writes in his kitab, he says, if you take the mountains, they have been created for qiyam. As long as they are on the dunya, they will make the qiyam of Rabbul Izzat. If you take the trees, they have been created to stand and make qiyam for Rabbul Izzat. If you take the goats, the cows, the lions, the tigers, Rabbul Izzat have created this makhluk that they must only go down in ruku. And they will remain as long as they are on the dunya, they will remain in ruku. So Allah did not want that from us. If you take the snakes, if you take the scorpions, this great wali of Allah writes, throughout their life, as long as they will live on the dunya, they will only be in sujood. So Rabbul Izzat did not want this from us. Allah wanted something different. Their relation with Rabbul Izzat, their contact with Rabbul Izzat, is like an employee, like a mulazim, like a worker, like a khadim. The makhsus khidmat that Rabbul Izzat has allocated to them. In other words, your duty is to make tasbih. Your duty is to make sujood. Your duty is to make qiyam. They will only do that. Like when you employ a person. You employ a person from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And if you tell him that this is your work, it is not proper that you must give him other work than whatever you have stipulated. And the moment 5 o'clock comes, it is his prerogative, his haq, his right that he leaves. Also another important thing, although this has got nothing to do with our topic, Muslims must be very, very careful when you employ a person. You do not employ the person's dignity and his honor. You have no right whatsoever in Islam to say you're stupid, you are idiot, you are fool, you are liable for sin, you'll be questioned on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. You have employed a mu'min, a kafir, for the particular time you are paying him for a specific work. His dignity, his honor is in the hands of Rabbul Izzat. You do not own that. So, when you employ a person, you give him his work, his time, and whatever you have stipulated. It is his haq and his duty that he only fulfill that. But Allah wanted something different, because there was nothing abnormal, there was nothing extraordinary in this type of ibadah that the angels are doing. Allah wanted something extraordinary, something unique. And Allah wanted a makhluk who could do different tasks at a different time, and the ibadat must also be different, and the ibadat, it must vary. That is the reason Rabbul Izzat chose that this ruh must be put into a body and sent to the dunya. I want a makhluk whose approach is different, his ibadat is different, and his ta'alluq and his relation with me must be that of a slave, of an abdiyat. He must have the quality of shana abdiyat in him. That is the makhluk that I want. Therefore, Rabbul Izzat sent us to the dunya as what? As an abd, as a slave, as a bondsman. Now, when we arrive on the dunya, thereafter, whatever we do, whatever we think, our concept, our attitude, our work, our amal, if that amal, that attitude, that concept is in conformity, it is in the perimeter, in the hudud, in the boundary of abdiyat, in the boundary of bondsman, then wallah, in the eyes of Allah, it will be regarded as tasbih, it will be regarded as ibadat, it will be regarded as tilawat of Quran. But this abd, this Muslim insan, who has the quality of bondsman, as an abd, as a slave, if he comes to the dunya, and his life is led on the dunya, outside the perimeter, outside the boundary, outside the hudud of abdiyat, then bear in mind, respected elders and brothers, what is the difference between an animal and us? Now let me give you an example. This is the bayan and the lecture which Hazrat Mawlana Masihur Rahmatullah gave 25 years ago. A person, by way of example, he studies medicine. He's a student of Islam. He becomes a doctor. While studying, after he studies, he qualifies as a doctor. Now, the doctors do not feel that we are singling them out. By way of example, you can say a carpenter, you can say a lawyer, a businessman, whatever the case might be. So you study, while studying, and after completing your studies, if you lead a life outside the perimeter, the hudud, the boundary of abdiyat, then you must bear in mind that there is no kamal in you. Your studies or your life as a medical person will not be regarded in the eyes of Allah as tasbih, as ibadat, as dhikr, as tilawat of Quran. But that very same student, that very same doctor, if he leads his life while studying, or even after he studies, in the perimeter the hudud, the boundary of abdiyat, then wallah, every second of his studies, every moment of his studies, every moment in the surgery, in the eyes of Allah, it is tilawat of Quran, it is ibadat, it is the dhikr of Allah. If a person study for an engineer, he can get the best marks in the entire country. But if he studies, and after studies, the life is conducted as an engineer, as an expert, as one of the top engineers in the country, outside the hudud and the boundaries of abdiyat, then you must bear in mind, those studies, that time that he spent, will not be regarded in the eyes of Allah as ibadat, as tasbih. Now the biggest question that we ask ourselves, if this is the case, what is the difference between us and the animals? Now Hazrat explains, do not forget, animals, they also specialize in medicine. By way of example, the Sheikh gives an example of a mongoose. Right? It's like a little rat, very, very furry. Now this animal has a tendency to eat snakes. If by chance the snake happened to bite and inflict the poison and the venom into this animal, even we as doctors haven't got the antibiotic and the drug that this animal knows. Immediately it runs into the bush, it eats a type of herb, it comes back and it fights. So it shows you the skills and the qualities. In the medical field they are masters. So what difference is between that animal and insan a mu'min who is an abd? The difference is insan a mu'min who is an abd, a slave, a bondsman, will see that my life as a medical man, as a professional man, will be led in the boundaries, the hudud, and the perimeter of abdiyah. So my time will be regarded in the eyes of Allah as dhikr, as ibadah. We look at engineering, as it gives an example of a bird. He said, look at the bird. They design their nests. There's a type of bird that has a tendency to design its nest at rivers. And it suspends its nest upside down. According to the family, you will find this nest, this bird will make its departments or its rooms. It will build it with twigs and grass. It needs a light. Now look at how powerful is the engineering skills of this bird. It will go into the bush, it will pick up a firefly, drops it into the rooms. That firefly doesn't need current, it doesn't need energy. It will start glowing. Now, what is the difference between that animal and insan and mu'min abd? What is the difference? We say to ourselves, Ya Allah, you have given them the ability of engineering. You have given us the ability. The only difference, Allah, is that we will see that our life will be led in the perimeter, the hudud and the boundaries of abdiyat. So every second and every moment of that mu'min's life is regarded in the eyes of Allah as ibadat, as dhikr, as tasbih. Why the Quran have said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. What is لِيَعْبُدُونَ? لِيَعْرِفُونَ. The purpose of the existence of man, why did Allah bring us in the dunya? What is the purpose? Solely and only to recognize Rabbul Izzat. That is the reason. How can you recognize your Lord? You must recognize your Lord through abdiyat. Hazrat gives another example. He says, many of us, we provide for our families. We think there is kamal in this. There is no kamal in this. Like in other words, I work from morning till evening. I must have a good roof over my head. I must have a secure house. I must drive a good vehicle. I must see there must be enough food at home. As I said, there is no kamal, there is no uniqueness in this. If you look at an ant, imagine an ant. Rabbul Izzat has given this little ant so much skills that before the rainy season comes, this little ant will go and walk and it will start stockpiling its little food, tidbits. Now imagine the yaqeen of this ant is so much. Let me give you a story of the yaqeen of the ant. In the time of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam's time, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was blessed with the ability and the skills to speak to the winds, the ocean, the rain, to speak to the insects. So as he was proceeding with his army, came across this little ant. He got off his horse, off his mount, and he made salam and he spoke to this ant. And he asked this little ant, where are you off to? And the ant said, O Prophet of Allah, before the rainy season come, because if it rains, it's difficult for me to move and I will get washed away. Going to seek a little food to keep it away. So when it starts raining, then there's no need for me and my children to come out. We can eat. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam asked this little ant, how many grains of food do you require for a year? And this little ant replied, only 2 grains. Now, respected elders and brothers, let us think. Our minds are so engaged in materialistic things. We are so engaged in money. We so much engaged in business. Think for a little while, that little ant that walked there, who provides the sustenance and the risk for that ant? Rabbul Izzah. You want to tell me we put our head down in sujood, we take Allah's kalam, we take Allah's name, Allah will look after us. Look at the kuffar. They are the arch enemy of Rabbul Izzah. But what did Allah say? They are my makhluk, I am khaliq, and I am their razik. No matter what sin they commit in the dunya, I will make sure that their risk will come to them. Now you want to tell me that we are the friends of Allah, we are the walis of Allah, we are the people that recite Allah's name, we cry upon Allah. Do you think Allah will turn us away? Never ever. So, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam took 2 grains of food, put it in a container, put the ant in the container, and buried the container. After 1 year, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam passed by that place, and he remembered the ant. So he said, let me go and visit the ant to see if I can make some khidmat, and I can provide some sustenance for the ant. When he opened the container, he was quite amazed. There was 1 grain of food over, and he became very annoyed. And he asked this little ant, said, why did you say you require 2 grains when you only ate 1 grain? He said, O Prophet of Allah, the day that I put my yaqeen on Rabbul Izzat, 1 grain was sufficient. But the day I put my yaqeen on man, I fear that you might forget the next year of me. Therefore, I ask you for 2 grains. So what kamal is there when an ant who is so weak, so feeble, so humble, knows how to prepare? The only difference is, insan abd, when he prepares, when he stockpile, if that is in the parameter of the hudud of abdiyat, it is in the boundaries of abdiyat, then of course that stockpiling will become ibadat. That stockpiling will become tasbih. That preparation for wife and children will become ibadat. As it gives another example, he says many of us get married. There's no kamal in the marriage. You look and you say, especially today, as it always, he makes what we say a type of joke, but there's a lot of hikmat and wisdom in it. He said, today if you look at the youth, both girls and boys, the boy will say, mommy, if I get married, I want this, the size, the shape, the color of the eyes, the appearance, her walk, her style. And in like manner, our daughters, the haya is out of them. Mommy, if I take a boy, this is how he must walk, this is the shape, this is his size. I want him to be trim, I want the color of hair to be as such. Khuda ke banda, when are we going to say, ya Allah, we want somebody who have your taqwa, inna akramakum, inda Allahi atkaakum. This is what Allah desires. Rabbul Izzat wonders from us. When is the time going to come that we're going to say it? So, for you to choose your partner, koi kamal nahi. Why? If you take the animals, take a cow, take a goat, take a lion, it roams around and it seeks its partner. And it finds its partner. If you fall in love with a partner, or you feel this partner can respond to me, I will take him as a partner, I will take her as a partner, and they start matching each other. And then later, there are children born. Then they prepare, they care for the children. So what kamal is there in an animal and us? The kamal or the difference is what? When that mu'min gets married, and in his nikah, and after his nikah, it is restricted to the hudud, the perimeter, and the boundaries of abdiyat, then that nikah will be what? It will be regarded as tasbih, as dhikr, as ibadat. Now here Sheikh is pointing out to us, that he has a very simple treatment. He has a very, very simple drug on the market that is available. Utilize this drug and inshallah you will find your entire life can become dhikr, ibadat. Now in conclusion, Hazrat explains, a mu'min's life is not restricted to salah. It's not confined to tilawat of Quran. It is not confined to the dhikr of Allah. It is not confined only to the masjid. Let us come outside the masjid and question ourselves. Let us look at our nikah. Your life starts from nikah. Ask yourself a question. When that nikah of mine take place, the ibtida of that nikah, the beginning of that nikah, and why is that nikah is carrying on? Is that nikah in the hudud of abdiyat? Is that nikah in the parameter of abdiyat? Is that nikah in conformity to the shan of abdiyat? We find there is music, we find there is mixed gatherings, we find that many a times there is no hijab, there is no parda system. Now ask yourself, when we went into this pledge, when we made this iqrar, when we accepted the pledge, when we took a qasam and an oath, Allah to be rabbikum. Allah did not say Allah to be ilahikum. What is this? Da'wah with dalil. A claim with evidence and shahadat. Allah didn't say Allah to be ilahikum. Am I your Lord? Allah asks, Allah to be rabbikum. Am I not your Rabb? What is a Rabb? A Rabb is one that makes tarbiyat. A Rabb is that, like how you will find when a child is born. Allah Rabbul Izzat has the kudrat from day one when a woman expects to take that baby out. But Allah has a tarteeb program. Tarbiyat is done. The 9 months must be over. Thereafter the baby is breastfed. Thereafter the baby start eating. Then that insan becomes strong. So Allah is our Rabb. He makes our tarbiyat. Allah is our sustainer. Allah is our nourisher. Allah is our hifazat. Allah is the one that takes care. This is the quality of Rabb. Allah did not say, Allah to be ilahikum. Giving us shahadat to show that you are my slave, you are my bondsman. So when Rabbul Izzat gives the command, when Allah gives the instruction, there is no question that we will question that commands. We will rebel against the command. We will be displeased with the instructions of Rabbul Izzat. Hazrat gives an example. He says, when a person bought a slave and he asked the slave, what is your name? And the slave said, Master, whatever name I have, that is my name. Whatever name you will give me, that will be my name. What is this? The quality of abdiyat, bondsman, to be a slave. Tell me, what do you eat, your eating habits? Master, whatever I ate in the past, it is forgotten. Whatever you will give me, that is my meals and that is my eating habits. Whatever time you will give me. What work do you do? Master, whatever I did in the past, it is forgotten. Whatever you will give me, whatever task you want me to fulfill, I am present. This is the quality of abdiyat. This is the quality of bondsman. And what did we say? That our relation with Rabbul Izzat is like a slave, not like a worker. Therefore Allah said in the Holy Quran, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Allah's the most powerful, the most beloved of Allah's makhluk, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah wanted the quality of abdiyat in his Rasul. So it's obviously we are the followers of that Rasul, so the quality of abdiyat should be in us also. So the difference between an abd and a worker is what? When you got a slave, you can tell that slave, I want you to cook. Whilst he's cooking, you say, now I want you to clean the toilet, he must clean the toilet. While he's cleaning the toilet, you tell him, I want you to sleep. What is the quality of that abdiyat? He must follow the instructions of his master. So in like manner, the slave demonstrated. So when Allah gives us the command, Allah gives us the hukam, what is the fitrat of that abd? What is the quality of that servant? Must he rebel against Allah? Must he question Allah's commands? Or must he fulfill the injunctions immediately? It's like this. When the king gives us a command and an instructions, what are the duties of those slaves? Immediately to follow the instructions. And if we go against the command of the king, we are beheaded. But Rabbul Izzat is so kind. He is so merciful. He is so compassionate. 1,000,001 of Allah's commands do we refute and reject. But yet Allah spares us. He provides our sustenance. He provides our health. He cares for us. This is how merciful Rabbul Izzat is. Now, we look at the commands and the injunctions of Rabbul Izzat. Sometimes, at the Fajr time, Allah's command is, Hayya ala salah. What must that abd do? Should he sleep? What is the fitrat? What is the quality of that abd? Immediately, Ya Allah, you're calling me now that I must come to your prayer. So you must stand up immediately. You must respond to that prayer. Make the wudu, prepare yourself and go to the masjid. By way of example, you are leaving the masjid. Today what do we find? The attraction is so great. Not only non-Muslims, even our Muslim girls. The moment you leave the masjid, what do you find? They are waiting for you. Ask yourself, is my iman worth a cosmetic appearance? Is my Allah and Allah's Rasul only worth a little bit of powder and lipstick that I must look and I must stay? What is the quality of abdiyat? What is the hukum of Allah? What is the instruction, the injunction that at a particular time? Lower your gaze. So this abdiyat is not restricted and confined only to the salah, to the tasbih of Allah, to the dhikr of Allah. So we come back to our nikah and ask ourselves a question. Our zindagi, our life, our hayat starts from there. How much of that nikah is in conformity or in the hudud or the boundaries of abdiyat? And if it's not, then in the eyes of Allah, it will not be regarded as ibadat, it will not be regarded as tasbih. And when any act, any amal, any concept is not regarded as tasbih, as ibadat, there will be no khair and barakat in it. And when an amal is regarded as tasbih, as ibadat, as obedience of Allah, there is khair and barakat. That is the reason, respected elders and brothers, why do you find in our nikahs there are so much ikhtilaf? Day one when we get married, then we put the boxing gloves on. Why? And if you go to the past and you look at people's nikahs in the past, for years and years, in other words, in their nikah, when they make nikah, there is no such a thing as talak. Look at our nikahs. Look what are we doing to our wives. Did you take a woman to assault her, to abuse her, to misuse her? That is amanat, a trust. So therefore, when we look at our nikahs, what do we find? We are outside the hudud and the boundaries and the perimeter of abdiyat. We take child, when a child is born, we look at the functions that we have, and we ask ourselves, when that little boy is born, that little girl is born, at the time of birth, our actions, our deeds, our amal, is it in the perimeter, in the hudud, in the boundary of abdiyat? Then of course, that whole process will be regarded as ibadat. It will be regarded as tasbih. But if the action, the amal, the concept, the ideas, or the things that we do, if that is outside the boundary or the hudud of abdiyat, then in the eyes of Allah, that little naming of the child or that special occasion will not be regarded as ibadat, as tasbih. And the end result of that, there is no khair and barakat. And who suffers? That little baby of our sons. We take our businesses, buying and selling. As I said, now this abdiyat is not restricted. You buy, you sell, we barter, we exchange. If that transaction of yours is not in the hudud, in the perimeter, in the boundaries of abdiyat, then in the eyes of Allah, it will not be regarded as ibadat, as dhikr, as tilawat of Quran. But if that business, that transaction of yours is in the hudud of abdiyat, in the perimeter of abdiyat, then of course that ibadat will be regarded in the eyes of Allah as dhikr and tilawat of Quran. We take our ma'amla, how we deal with people. Today what do we find? Very, very common sickness amongst us. We are one family. We are not here to highlight the faults of people, nor are we here to run anybody down. We are here to present the haq so that we can make amal and we can realize that we need treatment and we are sick. Today, how many of us, in our transactions, our buying and selling, we perform salah, we perform tahajjud salah, we make the ibadat of Allah, we make the dhikr of Allah, but yet we usurp the haq and the rights of our fellow Muslim. We owe money to people. We lend a deaf ear, we lend a blind ear, when a person demands his haq. What is this? It is outside the parameter of abdiyat. It is outside the hudud of abdiyat. So, taking this majlis into consideration, this is a very, very simple treatment. That every action of ours, we question the action, and we measure the action and the amal. By doing this, what will happen? From the moment that you wake up, from the morning you rise till the evening, inshallah, bi-idhnillah, you will find the entire day can be spent in the ibadat, in the dhikr and the tasbih of Rabbul Izzat. And in short, what is this abdiyat? Abdiyat in reality is what? Maqam ihsan. That's just a technical term for it. Right? So, the awliya say that once suluk starts, the beginning of your tasawuf and your suluk starts with ikhlas. And it ends at maqam ihsan. What is maqam ihsan? In simple terms, when one develops your ikhlas, your sincerity, and as I said, it is not confined to salah, it is not confined to hajj. Every action, every deed, every concept, every movement of yours, try to develop the ikhlas. Your ikhlas will develop into taqwa. That taqwa eventually will develop into maqam ihsan. What is maqam ihsan in simple terms? Whatever I do, wherever I am, you reach the stage where you start focusing on Rabbul Izzat. You can be in the darkest corner of your room. No one is there. You have the urge and the desire to do something wrong. What do you say to yourself? Allah, if I can't see you, Wallah Allah, you can look into my heart and into my mind. You're in your business. It's obviously, when you're buying and selling, if a lady, a woman, she's attractive, she comes in front of you, you can't put your head under the counter and say, right, what do you want? You find what they're going to do, they say, no, this man is not right. Pagal ho gaye, insane. Let's rather go somewhere else and do our dealing. So this is the time when you say to yourself, Ya Allah, you can look into my mind and my heart. Please Allah, my eyes, my heart is focused on Allah. Although I'm looking and I'm doing the transaction, but Allah, I'm looking at you. A doctor by way of example, a lawyer, many a times we're alone with young girls. Focus on Allah. Ya Allah, you can read my heart. You can read my mind, Allah. I am weak. So by bringing this into your life, maqam ihsan, wherever you are, your focus is on Allah, and wallah, you will find how Allah's nusrat, His assistance, His help will be with you. Therefore the hadith has said, kullu muti'in fa wadhakirun. Everything that a man do, his concept, his thinking, his ideas, if it is in the obedience of Rabbul Izzat, it is regarded as the dhikr of Allah. This is the definition of maqam ihsan. In conclusion, respected elders and brothers, as a reminder, like how we always make dua for mujahideen throughout the world, my humble appeal is that we should think of Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq, who is in Bangladesh over 8 months. Maulana is a frustrated person, he wants to get back home, his passport is withheld, and do not forget, there is nothing more powerful, there is nothing more dynamic than the duas of a mu'min. When a mu'min cries unto Allah, Allah transforms those tears into maqbooliyat. So therefore, this is a mubarak, a blessed occasion. Our great ulama are here, our senior ulama are here, our mashaykh are also here. So inshallah, let us remember Mawlana, that Allah should make things easy for him. Ameen. Allah should soften the hearts of the authorities, because do not forget, in the hands of Rabbul Izzat lies the qudrat and the power. If Allah soften anybody's heart, there is nobody to make that heart hard. Let Allah make a safe passage for Mawlana from Bangladesh home. Also, let us make dua that Mawlana must be reunited with his family as quick as possible. Amen. Let all these charges, these false accusations and charges be dropped upon Mawlana. And may Allah grant Mawlana izzat and strength and dignity. Amen. Amen. And may Allah allow him to continue with the work. Mawlana set up approximately 500 of the maktabs. The deen work is carrying on very, very forcefully, very, very strong. And we know, if we are the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is obviously, you must get opposition. You must suffer pain. You must have people that will condemn you. So Mawlana is in the exact position. He is on haq. And here we can see the batil. And we know that inshallah, there is wisdom, there is hikmat. Why Rabbul Izzat want this inshallah? We'll make a small dua inshallah. And we'll continue.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكون من الخاسرين. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وتوفنا مع الأبرار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. اللهم ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. اللهم ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان بحرمة القرآن وبحرمة النبي آخر الزمان. اللهم اشرح صدورنا للإسلام. اللهم حبب لنا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا مفتونين. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك وأتمم علينا نعمتك وأسبغ علينا من فضلك وجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك وارزقنا طاعتك وطاعة رسولك وعملا بكتابك. اللهم طهر قلوبنا عن غيرك ونور قلوبنا بنور معرفتك أبدا يا الله يا الله يا الله. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مسافرا إلا رددته ولا غائبا إلا رددته ولا ولدا إلا أصلحته ولا جاهلا إلا علمته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا دعاء إلا استجبته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا وبدنا صابرا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا وتوبة نصوحا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى وسلم على النبي الكريم آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.